Many women found new roles during the 1920s, with careers outside the home. Women began thinking of themselves more and more as equal with men, and less of housewives and mothers. How was the new role of the women accepted in DeKalb County?
Well, it like I said a while ago, in the 30s, it was accepted. The previous, in the 20s, in town, in the cities, we didn't have one two incorporated places in DeKalb County at that time, Fort Payne and Collinsville. Fort Payne is the county seat, and Collinsville had 300 or 400 residents. But the ladies, most every store had already had a lady clerk, unless it was a hardware or a fertilizer place that sold fertilizers and seeds. You usually had ladies clerk, and ladies began to own stores of their own, and you'd see they began to work in the cafes and as cooks. That didn't happen till long in the late 20s, early 30s, in DeKalb County. Okay.
Some of America's best love authors wrote of the average American during the 1920s. Sinclair Lewis novels portrayed the average American as a narrow-minded and dull. Ernest Hemingway portrayed people who did not fit in society. If you were a writer, how would you portray the average DeKalb County farmer? Include education and religious backgrounds.
Well, there was no such thing as radio. Radio came first, and no television. And I would say less than 5% of the people was the average farmer was well informed on current events. They I would say less than not more than 5% of the people got a newspaper of either weekly or daily. We didn't have one daily paper available then that the people could afford, and that was come from Gadsden. And I remember our paper was come from Atlanta, three times a week, Tribal Equal Constitution. It was a lot more newsier than the Gadsden Times. But on the mail route, the mail was distributed. The carrier drove a pair of mules to a buggy, and when he leave the post office in Crossville, I'm sure he wouldn't have more than a dozen papers any day on his route. So I'd say the average person was not informed very highly. That's it.
What role did the Ku Klux Klan play in DeKalb County during the 1920s and 30s?
I don't know when or where the Ku Klux Klan. When they when the beginning of the Ku Klux Klan was. But I do know that it was not considered a race-oriented organization in DeKalb County. Late teens and early 20s, there was a lot of Klansmen, because at picnics, we'd have picnics in the summer after going on laying by, that is, through out of the crops in the summer. They'd have picnics around at every crossroads, and the Klan, if the Klan was on hand, they would march, have a parade, and they was in robes, and sometimes some of them would be recognized, but not often. They wasn't ever certain, but there was a better class of people. I remember my dad a friend of his talking about some of their friends asking them to join. And I remember distinctly my dad, they decided, I don't know, Wilkes might have joined, but I'm not sure whether he did or whether he didn't. But my dad said that he'd wait till I was 21 years old. It cost $5 then to join, and $5 was a right smart of money. I don't think there's any fees after you paid this $5 registration fee to begin. And my dad told me that when I was 21, we would join the Klan, but when I was 21, we wasn't able really to, the Depression had come along, and we wasn't able to raise $5 to tell the truth about it. And so I don't know when they began to get such a bad name. But I do remember of hearing people talk about so-and-so had whipped his wife, and they took him down and set him on a stump and told him not to do that anymore, and he went on and gave her another thrashing, and they come down and give him a thrashing. I don't know if that's, I think that stopped his, the wife beaten. the Klan was a better class of people then. Thought to be, anyway.
Radio broadcasting became on large scale during the 1920s. It brought news of the world and entertainment into millions of homes. When did you receive your first radio?
It was in the early 20s, 23 or 4. First radio we got, it was a I don't remember the name of the set, but it had a. It didn't have a horn like some of them had. But it had three knobs you had to set to tune in a station. WLS was about the only station that. We could get on the thing. We had to have a pole. I know it was at least 50 foot. Two poles with a wire antenna for an antenna up on that thing to get anything on it. and you had to get all these knobs set just exactly to a higher breadth, and they wouldn't be the same from one night to the other. You definitely couldn't get anything on this set in the daylight hour, but at night, if the air was coming in the right direction and it was no static, not much electricity in the air, you could get a station. And it would go on and all, loud and low. You never could get a man a talking or a singing, but what the sound would go and come on it. But we did have a Victrola and a box of these flat records, and we had plenty of entertainment.
What did you listen to?
WLS was in Chicago, and there was a station in Atlanta that we could pick up occasionally. I don't remember the stars, names, bands, and things like that, but it was very, very, when you could get it wasn't long after the first come in to Nashville begin to broadcast. And you could get that Grand Ole Opry, and that was the beginning of the good days of television.
How did your neighbors receive and accept the radio?
They didn't believe in it. We were the first in our community for a number of years to have a radio, but we hung in with that radio a long time after television come in. I still like to hear a radio. That's a mess. A lot of our neighbors, any number, didn't believe in radio. They thought it was the devil's work. It wasn't right to have listening to things like that.
In 1927, Charles Lindbergh made the first solo flight across the Atlantic. This made the world seem like a smaller place. How did you and your graduating class perceive this great step into the modern world?
That was one of the greatest things that man had ever done. And Charles Lindbergh was in our mind was super. He was the only man that was capable and had nerve. He had to have guts to do a feat like that, to pull out across the Atlantic, not knowing how far he could go, and not knowing where he'd fall, it was unbelievable. He was our hero.